Welcome back to our podcast, Charmed by the Set, part two of the original Charmed, Prue, Piper, and Phoebe.
All right. So we've been gushing about all the good stuff, the good magic of Charmed, and the characters, all the great qualities for good reason. But we also wanted to pivot and talk about some of the things that we found to be a bit unsettling, especially because we were kids. And do we want to speak to that? Oh, what do you say, Claire?
Yeah. I definitely felt like this was probably the first show that I watched that was more geared towards the, you know, over 16 crowd. I think the reason why I even saw like the commercial for the episode that made me start watching was because I was watching Seventh Heaven, I think, on the WB. I think that was the maybe one of the main shows. Yeah. And that was like totally different messaging.
Absolutely.
That they were sending. And I, you know, was raised Christian and very much indoctrinated in that whole I'm going to wait till marriage thing. And
not alone.
You're I
not
remember, alone. I guess, from watching season one over again and thinking, because Phoebe was like 21 or 22, that she was probably a virgin, and then finding out, I guess I didn't catch it in those first couple episodes, but there is one episode where like an old boyfriend comes to visit from New York, and she has a premonition of being in bed with him. And I was just really like disappointed.
I recently just rewatched that episode. That's the one where he comes from Egypt, actually, and he has stolen a vase, and he comes for her help, mostly because he knows that Prue works at an auction house. But obviously, the urn is cursed, and so they use their witchy magic, blah, blah, blah. But I do remember that episode as well, and her having that sense of where this is going to end up. But I remember clearly, even more so, very early on in the season, and that's kind of more midway to the season, that they kind of painted her as more of the like free-spirited, sexually liberated sister. And the other ones kind of were a little bit more reserved. Definitely Piper in that. And Prue, while like I think they purposely exuded sex from her, like it was more of a, I don't know, like a power play sometimes. And she also would have these like senses of like, was that a good idea or was that not a good idea? And I don't think Phoebe ever felt like it was a bad idea to jump in the sheets with a certain people. Because like, even before that episode, there was one where Piper and Phoebe cast a spell to attract love to them. Do you remember that episode?
Right.
Yes.
Is that where all the guys turn into, or wait, no.
That's the one where all the guys just are like become like super infatuated with them, and they cast a spell, and it's so like some of it was, I felt like, was this written all by a woman? or who was like really also writing this? But the stark difference between what Piper asked for, which she kind of was asking for romance, and what Phoebe was asking for, and she was just asking for like the sexy bad boy who also recycles. And
right.
Yeah, and then her coming down the stairs from just having sex with him multiple times, but safe sex, she like pointed that out, and I thought, you know, good kudos for the promotion of safe sex. But it was, I think, especially being super young as we were, and watching this, and it's our first kind of like adult show and into like adult themes, understanding like where these women are coming from, it was probably very difficult originally, I think. And rightfully so, that you know, connected in a way with Phoebe, who probably was the closest in age to us, you know, even though like 10 years off. But thinking of like us as young women, you know, college age, what were those decisions going to be? And she definitely defied what I think our society and what our my parents and other people in my circle were touting to us. I honestly, like, there was so much, and I think this kind of plays with a lot of millennial women, that we were just told, like, don't get pregnant, don't get pregnant, don't get pregnant, which means, like, no sex, no sex, no sex. Mm-hmm. And how that affected us on the flip side of watching these women who were really being taking charge of their bodies, and how did we compute that? And it felt like sometimes it was a betrayal, because if we're coming off of shows like Seventh Heaven, which is also a spelling show, I think we're thinking, like, oh, this is totally a wrong thing to do, because every time that came up, there's a big lesson in this, and this is, you know, right, not something that any young person can do. Very, I would say, like, evangelical church leaning. And then we get Prue, Piper, and Phoebe on the flip side. Not that they were gearing the show to us, but of course they knew we were watching. So I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm trying to think, because I know at the same time I'm watching shows like Seventh Heaven and Boy Meets World, mm-hmm, where, you know, Cory and Topanga wait, and I guess I wanted to see that in everything, mm-hmm, that I watched, mm-hmm, or I wanted it confirmed that other people, other shows were thinking that this is the right thing to do, mm-hmm, I guess.
Yeah.
And I mean, we could get into a whole thing about how, like, I don't even remember anyone specifically telling me, mm-hmm, to wait till marriage.
Okay. Yeah.
It just was
the unspoken rule.
It was just there.
Yeah.
It was like, and I didn't even go to, like, a evangelical church. Mm-hmm. I went to a pretty progressive one. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of always there. And yeah, I'm trying to think if I felt, yeah, maybe betrayed by just other shows. I don't know.
I think you have hit on something that I've often thought about, and I think it is cultural. I think there is the sense that there is the virgin whore dichotomy that we have been constantly bombarded with our entire lives, and it just, like, doesn't go away. It's either you are a woman who is completely pure, and that is, like, the thing that they drive home for young women, and especially, like, mm-hmm, preteens and teenagers, because obviously, like, the big fear of, oh, they'll be pregnant and you'll ruin your life forever, which obviously is not the case. I know many successful women who have had children young. But I do think that that theme has been driven home constantly, because this country, a lot of it was founded on very puritanical viewpoints. And then we have another side of the culture that pushes back, which I think is great. I just think that when you're up against the one side of the culture who's like, there's only two ways to go, it's on a binary, you're either a virgin or a whore. If you step over any line, then it's labels, terrible labels that get pushed onto women. And I think our young minds, having only one sensibility of it, probably felt uncomfortable with such a portrayal of, like, independent, sexually free, and also, like, negotiating their sexuality and understanding it themselves and figuring it out themselves, that we probably couldn't grapple with, because we had only been presented with two alternatives, like one or the other. And I think for me, when I was watching these episodes and being so young and not necessarily always able to wrap my head around it, and I'll get to a funny story about that, I did, though, feel a little bit opposite of you. I mean, I similarly grew up in a church and was hammered home, like, wait till marriage. But I also was like, wow, this is a little exciting. This is a possibility. There is other women who aren't following this road. There is a path to something else. And maybe I'm not as liberated as Phoebe is, but maybe I'm more like Prue, who's measured and finds, you know, the people that she like really likes before she takes the next step. And I think that is something that I was looking forward to, but I still think what was the interesting part about this, watching it at such a young age, is that they were teaching me. I was learning concepts of sex through these shows. And I don't know if those were good concepts or bad concepts. I think they were not always positive, and sometimes not always negative. I think there were the times where, if we wanted to talk about the second episode, where Prue comes home after sleeping with Andy after the first date, like they had a conversation around shame. And yes, I think there is no reason to be shamed about what you do with your own body. It's your body, your choice. But also this idea that like maybe sometimes men were taking that as they get to do whatever they want with women's bodies, that women should be constantly sexually free right. and open for them. And I think that, and I would love to get to, we'll even get even deeper in that when we talk about other shows like Sex and the City and all of that. But I think there was something to feeling that there were some expectations on us as women, especially when we got to the ages that Prue Piper and Phoebe were, that felt like we were shamed for either not wanting to have sex. You had too much sex, you were shamed. You know what I mean? We were shamed no matter what. Every option was a burden and a slight on our womanhood in some way.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't think that it was ever intentional in these shows, but I do, I think we should talk about it. I think that was something that was interesting.
Well, yeah, you brought up a lot of things that the whole shame thing has to, I feel like it's very much, well, it's like it's a patriarchal thing. So it's mm-hmm. very much men have shamed women mm-hmm. regarding all kinds of, you know, anything having to do with sex. It's in the eyes of men. And the shame of like, you need to stay a virgin till you're married is because if you don't, men won't want you. Right?
Right.
Yeah. On the one hand, I feel like we're getting a very feminist view of this, mm-hmm. of like women are a woman created this show and like women are writing this show. Mm-hmm. So we're not getting the male view mm-hmm. necessarily. Like no one is really being super chaste, but also you were kind of between the three sisters, you're getting three points of view. You've got Prue sleeps with Andy on the first date and Piper calls her a sleaze, mm-hmm. but Prue like defends herself. Well, it wasn't exactly our first date, you know, cause they dated in high school. Whereas Phoebe is completely, she, I guess also went out the whole night mm-hmm. with someone. And she says, you know, like I didn't do anything that I'm ashamed of.
Right. She says, it's so interesting to interpret that because she says nothing happened. Well, nothing I'm ashamed of. And I think that means stuff happened, but it doesn't matter really. And I don't think either right. one of it matters, but I do think that it is interesting that they had a whole conversation around it. And at the end of the day, you could tell that Prue was uncomfortable and was, you know, and I think there's two reasons. She was uncomfortable that she did have sex with him on the first date. And I think that she was uncomfortable that she was being called out for it. And mm-hmm. And I think the uncomfortableness around it, I think is, you know, valid. Even if you listen to Let's Be Clear, it's interesting, and I think everyone should go and listen to that a podcast with Shannon Doherty, but she talks about that she didn't like that part of the script that Prue slept with Andy on the first date. And it was interesting that she herself said that she wasn't really comfortable with that. And I think for a multitude of reasons, one being that it can set up expectations, two being that, you know, it's so new that, you know, you might not know how you feel. And then three, like, I don't know about you, but I think sometimes when it is like sex on the first date, it feels like it's something that isn't going to last. And you know, doesn't necessarily mean that that's a bad thing or a good thing. Sometimes you just want to have a good time, and that is valid, I think. But I don't think that that's what was on Prue's agenda. And so I don't think she wanted to convey that at all. But I also think that, like, feelings were involved, right? They dated in high school. They probably, in the way that the story goes on, we know that they've known each other most of their lives. So I understand it. It was passion that brought them together. And I don't think she's ashamed of the passion. I just think she's afraid of the commitment that it was involved. And I think that's probably the biggest part of it, was that she was like, maybe we'll be an item, we'll be close, we'll continue to have this relationship. And she was afraid of bringing him into a situation where she was not ready. And she's not ready, one, because she's a witch and she just found out and all these crazy things are happening, but also maybe that she just got out of a relationship where she's engaged, yeah, and like needs time. so all these fair things, but I think the calling out by her sisters, which is kind of what society is like. I mean, I don't know how you are with your siblings, but I know sometimes I feel judged by my sibling or friends or whatever for whatever I've done with people that I'm involved with. And I think I think the Piper like calling her a sleaze was like a joke. Like, I don't think it was like meant to actually believe that she was. But I do think that like when you're young, you don't know that and you mm-hmm. can't pick up on subtlety, you know? So it's something that does hit home and you think like, oh, is that the case? Like, especially when you're in the halls at high school and people are calling each other sluts. But I think what was really interesting to me in that interaction was not the Piper Prue interaction, but was the Phoebe Prue interaction. And I think it was because Phoebe was saying, like, was kind of shaming her for thinking that she was ashamed of it.
Right.
And that feels a little weird to me.
Yeah. There's so many things going on, like, in that scene. And part of it, I think, like you were saying, Piper calling Prue a sleaze, mm-hmm. like, it could just be like character revealing, right? Piper, we learn later, Piper has never slept with anyone on the first date.
Right.
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 She tells Phoebe that. Mm-hmm. Phoebe says, come on, you never had sex on the first date. And Piper says, no, have you? Piper says, don't answer that. And Phoebe goes, well, it's not a regular thing.
I mean, honestly, I think we all kind of judge each other for like the different things that we do. But I think that it was a little bit liberating to know that they both had ideas of what was right for them. And they kind of stuck to it, right? So I think it's an interesting one because, yes, they're like learning. It feels like very much like a sister conversation. Like, oh, you do these things and I don't. And sometimes that gives people permission to explore a little bit more. And sometimes that gives people permission to be like, oh, maybe I don't have to do that if I don't want to. But with Phoebe's character, I think she has always been the one who's like, well, I like to push boundaries and I don't like anyone telling me, you know, what I can and can't do with my body. And I respect her for that. And I think that, you know, a lot of people and no matter their gender, I think needed her in that. But I also think that, you know, that she as a character probably was a little bit more like I have my own rules and I go by them. And I don't think that like we got to always see what her rules were, because I think that we got a lot of judgment of like from her sisters about like what she was doing. And I think we didn't get to go, like we saw her say, oh, I did this and it was safe sex, right? But I don't think we got to see all the times when she was like on a date with a guy and like or when it got to the point where they were in her place or their place. So I don't know if we even got to experience her until she, you know, got like a love on the show, which I think that's a good segue to talk about, like, you know, the men that they paired these women with. But until she got Cole, I think we didn't really get to see how she navigated relationships unless they were that old boyfriend. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
Yeah. But I did think that in a little bit that they painted her more promiscuous than the other two, especially like when they have the episode, this is of another season, not season one, but where that's the
Seven Deadly Sins,
and she's lost and she's going after her professor, like, you know what I mean? I think they gave her that persona, and I don't know if that helped for young women to understand that it is okay to have your own views of like how much or how little you want sex, and like you can be just as, you know, sexually free and comfortable in your body as Phoebe is without being labeled. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But at least by the people who care about you.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you want to maybe talk about the three core?
Yes, let's do it. Yeah. So let's talk about Prue first. So we have in episode one of the first season, the pilot episode, her old high school boyfriend coming in as the major inspector, the detective of the show, Andy Trudeau. And he's played by Ted King. And they were really the first kind of like love interest that we experienced in this show. This like this true love, this push and pull between them. And I don't know about you, but I was really rooting for them.
No, I was too.
Yeah, and then we move on to this triangle with Piper of Dan and Leo, and she ultimately ends up with Leo, who's played by Brian Krause. And that was an interesting journey that we took with Piper, Dan, and Leo. And then we get to Phoebe, and I think the most interesting relationship, which is Phoebe and Cole, who was also a demon called Balthazar. And that was played by Julian McMahon. So yeah, so let's talk about these relationships, because I think it's so fascinating, both on and off set, how these relationships unfolded on screen and off.
Yeah, I feel like you see a real kind of like progression, mm-hmm. and I'm sure they did this on purpose. And I'm guessing, like, I mean, they got their big love stories in like birth order, right? Prue got, you know, season one, mm-hmm. Piper got season two, even though Leo showed up in season one, mm-hmm. it was just kind of temporary. And then, but the big, like, will they, won't they kind of was season two. And then Phoebe being the third has to wait till season three to get her love story. And I feel like they just kind of kept upping the stakes, not only just because they wanted to like change things up and make it interesting, but we see, you know, Prue has the trying to date a mortal.
Yes.
And Piper's got, you know, the white lighter, who's a good magical being.
Right.
And then trying to decide between him and another mortal.
Right.
And then we've got Phoebe falling for a demon.
Yes.
So.
Of course, a half demon. Let's be clear.
That's right. So he is able to love.
But I also think that they are so tied to their kind of personalities too, in the sense that, like, and like, we've been already talking about Phoebe, but I think Phoebe falling for a half demon who's like one of the most powerful demons in the
underworld,
dark side. Who ultimately becomes the source. So it's like a crazy, crazy road. I think, you know, we were already set up very early that there's a dark side of Phoebe, right? And she is someone who has to constantly kind of battle herself to be good, right? Or to stay on one side versus the other. And I think that plays into her falling head over heels for Cole, which I think we all did. I don't know
if you. Oh my God.
Yeah.
No, totally.
But on the flip side, like, you have someone like Prue, who I also think has like a thing for bad boys. But I think, you know, in a way, like, she, I mean, they put her with Andy, who is like apparently in the fictional world kind of like the ultimate good guy. Like, the cop is like, you know, the detective who's trying to find good is always that ultimate good guy. But I think that she kind of has a darker edge to her, and her wanting to be with this mortal obviously was like a huge conflict with her. But I think, like, throughout the season, the first season, there was times where you just wanted to be like, go for it, Prue. Like, why can't you be more like Phoebe? Just go for it. Like, you know, you never know. Like, time is of the essence. Like, we didn't know time was of the essence, but time is of the essence. Demons you're fighting every day, you could die. That was too far. But all to say.
Well, it's true.
Yes. But all to say that, like, her with a mortal, I think, is like probably a beautiful love story, but a love story that they've always painted as something that can't last. Like, even their father, who was a mortal, like, it wasn't going to last. He never stuck around. And so I think the sense of, like, lasting relationships only can work in their realm and the way that they've kind of created these rules, as like, if it's with a mortal, it might be strong, but it will eventually either be harmful or fatal, and that's kind of what happened. And it broke my heart, I think, that he has to die in the first season. But I don't know if he could have lasted any longer. What do you think? I don't know if that would have been.
I mean, they set him up as, you know, he's not just like, yeah, he's immortal and he's a detective, but he believes in the occult. And yes, he saw the Wendigo.
Yeah.
Like, there were so many kind of openings, I feel like. I mean, and even at the end of that episode.
Yeah.
Prue says, you know, that she got as close to telling him the truth as she ever has. And even though they do that stupid truth spell where she wants
mad.
So mad. Like, you give him 24 hours to make a decision, like, girl.
Yeah. But also,
obviously,
it didn't ring true enough for me in the sense that, like, because he was already so into the occult that he was be so caught off guard. Like, he already in the pilot is like talking about, oh, these women were witches. Oh, these women were, you know, doing occult rituals. So why on earth wouldn't he think, like, hey, okay, yeah, that makes sense. That's why you've been in all of these crime scenes this entire time. I've been after this idea that there's something up That makes so much sense. I don't think that his reaction was true to me. Like, I think, yes, he might be shocked. And, like, he said something about, like, well, your children are, you know, be magical or witches. And she was like, yes. And I think that felt a little more true of, like, oh, is he thinking of the future and would he want that in his life? But he didn't even get a chance to know what it meant. Like, they fight crime. He fights crime. It seems like a win-win situation. And then you have witches on your side, like, helping you out. But I thought that, like, you know, it could have lasted a little while longer. But I do think that, like, at some point, he doesn't have the ability, like, unless he was changed by some other kind of mystical being, supernatural being, into something that has powers. Like, I don't think that he would be able to last in their world. Like, they're always having to save him. And the last time is that he saves them. And I think that it's heartbreaking. But I think the reason that the other two relationships, and moving on to Piper, were able to last were because they were of people who understood the world that they occupied.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like, having the choice between a mortal and a white lighter, I think that at the end of the day, she chose the white lighter more, not because I think of the chemistry between them, but more because he could understand and be around, and she doesn't have to worry that he's going to die because he's already dead.
Well, I mean, there's the whole dark lighter thing.
Yes. Yes.
Doesn't that happen in season one? Isn't he hit by an arrow and, like, the fact that she loves him, saves him, or something?
Yes.
Which, I just got to say, I feel like they kind of pulled that out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Right? They were having, like, a little fling, which, yeah, by the way, yeah, that just kind of, I mean, we know that she likes him. They're flirting. Phoebe's also flirting, but we know that's just because Piper really likes him. But they seem to, you go from, they have, do they kiss in the Truth Cell episode?
I don't know, but they've been intimate.
Yes, they do.
Prior to.
Yes, because
they were intimate, and the whole, like, episode where, you know, she's like, I froze him in bed. Do you remember?
Right. And, well, yeah. That was,
right.
They go from, I think, the Truth episode where she's like, do you ever think of me?
Yeah.
You know, and then, like,
they
what
do
you
kiss? But he didn't technically,
right,
remember.
But he didn't remember. And then we go straight to, yeah, they're fooling around and whatnot. And then he has to leave. He's already just madly in love with her. And she's like, oh, well, he's gone.
Except the Wendigo episode shows us that she is somewhat in love with someone. Because the whole idea of why the Wendigo finds her, besides, like, her AB blood, is that she is, the Wendigo basically eats hearts, if people didn't know.
Right.
And it goes after hearts that are in love with someone or pining for someone, which is why Andy is in danger in that episode, because he's pining for Prue. And so the reason the Wendigo went after Piper in the first place is that she was, her heart was thumping, and we all know who it was for. It was for Leo. So I think, you know, there's a sense of, like, oh, yeah, he's gone. Like, maybe, you know, I think that feels a little natural to our, you know, to the real world of, like, sometimes people come and go in our lives, and we did have, like, a big connection, but, like, you know, timing's not always on our side. But I do think that, like, there, in the beginning, I was very much in agreement and aligned with Piper choosing Leo, though I felt like Dan was sexier.
So much hotter. Yeah.
Yes. Like, I don't know. Like, it's hard. It's hard. It's a hard decision. And I don't know if I would have made the same one that Piper made. But
yeah, it's like he's there, but he's not magical and he doesn't know what you really are versus he's someone who's got other charges. Basically, he's just like got to go to work. His hours are just different, you know?
It's true. And I think that, like, I feel like, I just want to talk a little bit about the chemistry between Dan and Piper. I thought was actually there a little bit more. And with Leo, I think there was this familiarity. But I mean, Holly Marie Combs, who plays Piper, talked about how, like, she knew Brian Krause before they ever did the show together. And so it wasn't, it was like kissing her brother, I think she had said. Not that it's show. Like, I think she's a wonderful actress. But I do think that there were some other options out there in the that we saw that we could see this intense, a little bit more intense chemistry between Piper and those characters. And I think Dan was one of them. And then I also think there was Mark. Do you remember the Chinatown episode?
With John Cho?
John Cho, yes.
Yes.
They had incredible chemistry.
Is that what they were talking about in, I think, the very last episode of Let's Be Clear?
Oh, they might have been.
They were talking about
I think they did talk about John Cho. Yes, yes. And I agree. I agree with them.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously, like, he was a ghost, but I think, okay, he's a ghost, but maybe there was a way, like, I love that, you know, we didn't get a lot of it, but we got sometimes a little bit of cultural magic going on. And I thought, like, there could have been a way that he could have stayed or, like, come back as a white lighter.
Right. I mean, this world, you're, like, making it all up.
Yeah.
So they
and, like, you have
him in.
Yeah. And he could have been a white lighter. And then, you know, I feel like I feel like people might come for us, all other Charm fans being like, Piper and Leo forever. But I think the John Cho character, Mark and her, were like so cute together. Like they like had this little thing going, and it was one episode, but it lasted in my head.
It left an impression, for sure.
And, you know, I think for Prue, if in an alternate universe we were allowed to have a fourth season with Prue, I think that they probably would have come up with someone who had magical, supernatural powers for her as a new love interest. Because I think that they were kind of internetted at with, like, that guy she broke out of prison. That was pretty steamy scenes.
Totally. Yeah, kind of leaned into that.
She likes the bad boy.
When she was doing that astral projection
thing
instead of sleeping, and she gets
that's a great episode.
The biker bar.
So that was the Piper's wedding episode where she kept falling asleep and astral projecting and finding this biker who was also very sexy. And they were having this, like, complete affair with her astro self that she thought it was just, like, a dream. And that was, I think that they were hinting that, like, she was someone who might also be interested in a little bit of a darker character, which is why I think in some ways it was really insightful about, like, why she was so upset with Phoebe for her relationship with Cole once they found out that Cole was also a Balthazar. I think that, or even before then when she kind of sensed that there was something off about him, was, I think, besides, like, the practical of, like, this guy's no good, I think she was jealous. I think she had a little jealousy of Phoebe being able to explore this darker side of herself because Prue also had it. I think that's one reason why they clash, is that they're so similar. They're sisters that are, like, I think, two sides of the same coin.
Yeah. Oh, I never thought of that, but I totally see that as being, like, something.
And I think, you know, to get to talking about Phoebe and Cole, and then, add in this sense of like chemistry, I think that I followed that relationship thinking that there was like incredible chemistry between them. And I really was like wanting always to see, you know, when Cole was coming back for Phoebe or when Phoebe was going to find Cole. But there's that one episode where we both saw it that we sensed that there might have been something going on between Prue and Cole, at least in their eye contact and the way that they their body language towards each other, and that was the Western episode, the episode that Shannon Doherty directed, and it's in season 3, and she has to go back to the Wild Wild West to save Phoebe because Phoebe is connected to a person that spiritually kind of meshed with her, and it's an indigenous native character who is ultimately shot by kind of some outlaws, and they're in kind of a time loop, so it's constantly happening. But both Prue and Cole go back in time to save Phoebe, and while they're in the West, they kind of feed off of each other, and they're both kind of like badass in a little bit of a way, and you can tell that they don't dislike it about themselves. And you know, and I think that like if Cole didn't love Phoebe, Cole there could have been some Game of Thrones up in that like triangle. And maybe it had to do a little bit with the fact that Shannon at the time was dating Julian, but I also think that you know, true to their characters, Prue has a thing for bad boys.
Yeah, no, I could totally see that. If and there is that episode when Cole is kind of like shimmering around, get the source and
to stop detecting him.
There's that scene, I think, with Prue and Phoebe, and Phoebe's like, oh, he just like basically just shows up for sex, kind of. Really, really great sex.
Yeah.
And Prue's the one who's like, no, of course he loves you. I mean, think of everything. Like, he killed the triad for you, like, blah, blah, you know. So she's at that point, like, she's on board with it. So, yeah.
A little bit. I think in one way, throughout all of the seasons, we can see Prue being hard on Phoebe because I think she sees herself in Phoebe and knows that she has been able to be a little bit more controlled, whereas Phoebe is more like instinct and risk taker and very... what's that word? Spontaneous. And I think that that's like the difference between them, but I think that their desires are very similar. And the way that they interact with the world is somewhat similar. And what attracts them, what is attractive to them is the same. And I think with Cole, I think she does say it in one of the episodes. She's like, I understand that kind of like attraction, and especially, you know, we see it in that episode where she pretends to be the assassin,
right?
And that's when she meets the hottie that she bails out of jail later. Or does he break out on his own and then she just keeps him away, something like that? But anyway, all to say that I think, you know, throughout with all of these relationships, I think the one that rang most kind of thrilling and true is actually not the one that I think is the obvious one, which is the Piper Leo one, but the Cole Phoebe one, which is so complicated and messy. But I also think that there's something that we learn about each of them with these relationships. And I think what we learn about Phoebe and Cole is that she's willing to tap into that darker side of herself, and like whether it's positive or negative, like, you know, to her detriment or not, which we see in other seasons. But that also, like, she sometimes is a little selfish in her decision making, and we see that, like, some of her decisions did poorly affect her sisters. And whereas that's the flip side of Prue, who was so in love with Andy and could have tried to make that relationship work if she wasn't thinking about what it would do to her sisters, what it would do to their livelihood and what it would do to their lives as witches, as they're trying to fight evil. And then also not being selfish with Andy's life, knowing that, like, if she were to be constantly in his life, he would be constantly in danger. Not that he cared, because he's a cop and he's always in danger, but, you know, I think that that it showed differences in the personalities with these relationships. And then with Piper and Leo, it's such a complicated, I think the most complicated relationship, because I think it's heartbreaking how much he leaves her and how much he justifies it with, like, a higher calling, and how much she goes back and forth and then keeps coming back to him. It kind of feels like, I think it does have to do with her people-pleasing personality, and the sense of, like, she will take a lot of crap before she, like, finally puts her foot down. I don't know. Do you feel the same way of my analysis of this?
I really liked Piper and Leo just kind of being like the, I mean, after season two, I guess, where they just kind of like solidified that, like, they were meant to be together. I don't really, I mean, I know there's a lot of him leaving, but he did so much for her. Like, when she died, like, from that tropical disease, yes, and he saved her,
yeah,
against the rules, and they grounded him, basically. They stripped his powers and he had to be immortal. And he was just like, well, I'm gonna still fight for you and everything. And yeah, I think, and that just kind of goes back to the way, like, all of these men just were totally, you know, completely in love and just, yes, dropped everything for, yes, these women. And I wonder if you think it's like, was it kind of like a female fantasy thing? Like,
well, I'm not the one to ask, but yeah, in some ways it feels a little bit like it. I think it's definitely men written by women, in the sense that, like, all these men in their lives, like, gave up their lives or livelihoods to be with these women, constantly coming back for them. They are pining over them. Also, I think they're witches, so, like, whatever. They have seductive power. Okay, they're kind of siren-y. But I also think that, like, it's true. Like, Leo, you know, went through a lot to be with Piper. He was found out. They tried to secretly get married in that, like, Lady Hawk episode. And I think also Cole is, like, dodging the source of evil to be, mm-hmm, with Phoebe. So I think they've all kind of risked a lot to be with these women. And of course, because they're charmed, that they will come back for more. But yeah, I hope it's not a fantasy. I hope there are men out there that will, you know, go
bring me back from the dead.
Go through the trenches. Yes. Yeah. Or, you know, it doesn't even matter. It's like, it doesn't have to be men, just like a person who loves you enough, who thinks the sun shines out your ass. That quote, what is that movie? But anyway, like, yeah, I think that there's probably someone who feels that way about their significant other out there. And yeah, but I don't know. These are also fictional men with supernatural powers. So maybe they only exist in the fictional realm. But yeah, so okay, so we're this is our show. That was a lot. but thank you guys so much for tuning in. Our next show will be about another female-led show called
Gilmore Girls.
Yay, Gilmore Girls. So that's our show brought to you by the power of two. come back, listen to us, it wouldn't be fall without your favorite mother-daughter duo.
Charmed by the Set is executive produced by Kat Davidson and Claire Almond, sound engineered and edited by Kat Davidson, with original music by John Bell. Find out more about our podcast at www.charmedbytheset.com and follow us on social media at Charmed by the Set.